It is a very, very real pleasure to be back with you. I know that I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again. There's never a time that I come in this area that you all don't make me feel loved, and I appreciate that. And hope that you'll give us occasion back in Arkansas to be able to return that favor sometimes. Appreciate Brother Wynn and Sister Laura taking care of us. Brother Wynn's right. We did a lot of nothing today, but I will assure you that we did it extremely well. We were pros. So, if you have your Bibles with you, I ask that you turn with me to the 14th chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. And if God would help me and give me liberty this evening and be with you in the hearing, I'd like to speak for a little while about the experience of Caleb. I'm going to start reading in Joshua chapter 14. So let's do a little history lesson here. The children of Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And they had, under the leadership of Joshua, they had crossed the Jordan and begun their campaign in the land of Canaan. And there were city after city, territory after territory that they were taking. And that land was being divided and being given to the different tribes and broken down from there to the different families inside the tribes as their lot or their portion, their inheritance. And it says in verse 6 of Joshua chapter 14, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, or to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly, or I completely, followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." Now, I want to stop there for a moment. Let's go back and pick up on that episode in the life of Canaan that he's talking about. So turn with me over into the book of Numbers until we get to Numbers chapter 13. So the children of Israel have left the land of Egypt. And in leaving the land of Egypt, they have watched God, and I'm using biblical language when I say watched God declare war on the gods, the false gods of the Egyptians. And they left Egypt with a high hand. They were blessed to see the Red Sea part, and they were blessed to cross it on dry foot. They were then blessed to see the miracle of God causing the wheels of the chariots of the Egyptians to fall off and for them to be stuck there in the middle of the Red Sea and for the water to cover them up. They were able to see all of that. And then they began to head towards the land of Canaan, being led by Moses and having been told by God, this is the land that you're going to have for an inheritance. So as we come now to Numbers chapter 13, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." So God told Moses, and he said, you get one man from every tribe. And Joshua was, he's called Oshea there in verse 8, of the tribe of Ephraim. Caleb was of the tribe of Judah. They were two of the 12 men that were sent out to spy the land. So those men spent 40 days, and they went all throughout the land of Canaan. They discovered that it was everything that God had said that it was. It was a land that had rich soil for their crops. It was a land that was a good place for them to raise their flocks of sheep and of goats and of cattle. They saw that it was a good place for them to be able to raise up their families. They went and checked out the land, and it had a lot of good jobs and great schools, if you want to say it that way. They looked, and it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But they saw some things that scared 10 of the men. So when the spies come back, 10 of the men, not Caleb and not Joshua, spoke first. And they, it says in verse 26, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land." They had taken a cluster of grapes. It took two men to be able to carry it in between them. And they brought back evidence that the land was everything that God said it was. That God's description of their inheritance was correct. They brought back physical evidence, undeniable evidence of how rich and how good that land was. But then they said, but you know what? We went over there and we saw that the people that are there, they're fierce. They're warlike. They've got walled cities. They said there, in verse 33, they said, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak." That's going to be important a little bit later. They said, "We saw the sons of Anak there, and which come out of giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." And so everybody gets upset. They hear this report that the 10 spies give, and they say, "Well, we can't take this land. There's no way for us to come into these Canaanites and be able to defeat them in battle and take their walled city and fight these descendants of giants." They said, "Moses, you brought us all the way out here just for our kids to become a prey, for them to get slaughtered by this. We need to pick somebody else to be a captain and just take us back to the land of Egypt." And it says in verse 6, Caleb has already spoken in verse 30. But if you go to chapter 14 and look at verse 6, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation, the children of Israel. They realized that the people of Israel, God's chosen people there, were abandoning God. They had seen the evidence that what God said was true. They had seen the miracles that God had done in delivering them out of Egypt. But they said, "It still looks too hard. We can't do it. This isn't going to work out. Let's just go back to Egypt." And Joshua, and in particular Caleb, tried the other two spies. They brought back a different report. Caleb and Joshua says, they spoke to the company of the children of Israel, chapter 14, verse 7, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us," and they've been given every evidence from God to know that He delighted in them, "then He will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are a bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with them. Fear them not." And it says, "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." So they rebel against God. They said, "We can't take it. Yes, it's every bit as good and better than what God had told us, but we can't take it. The enemy is just too strong." And Caleb and Joshua try to tell them, "No, you can take it. God is on your side. God has made a promise, and He's not going to go back on that promise. Let's go in and let's take it." And they picked up rocks to stone them, those two men. They picked up rocks to stone them. I don't know what it would be like to see several hundred thousand people looking around for a good-sized rock to bash you with, because they were afraid of the words that you were saying, reminding them of the promise of God. But then, in my mind, I picture it as just a flash of light that's just a blinding brightness that emanates from the tabernacle. and the glory of God is there. And God's angry, justly angry with the people. And Moses pleads for God, and God was going to destroy them. Moses pleads for them, and God hears Moses' plea. And he says in verse 26, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, saying to them." So God tells them what the judgment is going to be. "As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses," he tells them, "your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness." God went on to say, "Your children, who you said were going to be the ones that were a prey for the Canaanites, they're going to go in and they're going to enjoy the inheritance." He said, "But you're going to go wander in the wilderness for 40 years until everyone that is, I believe it was 20 years old and up, dies except for Caleb and except for Joshua. But you're going to wander for 40 years. And so they were sent then into the wilderness to wander until an entire two generations died. Now, this little experience here that is recorded for us in the life of Caleb, I want to call this Caleb's youth. I realize that in this place, we're going to see later that he was 40 years old. But in the lifetime of Caleb, this was his youth. And I estimate that Joshua was a little bit younger than him. And I want you to notice first that Caleb was committed to God in his youth in spite of opposition. Now we have opposition that comes in life. And sometimes what feels like the easiest thing to do is to just go along to get along. I've never had thousands of people picking up a rock to bash me with because I was unwilling to go against God. I've never faced that kind of opposition. But Caleb did face that kind of opposition. And in his youth, he was committed to believing in God and following what God had said regardless. To those of you that are younger than I am today, let me tell you this. There are certain decisions and commitments that you can make in your life that will make other decisions in your life a whole lot easier. A whole lot easier. If you say, "I'm not going to live somewhere where I can't attend a good, sound church," then guess what? It's going to make some of those college decisions a whole lot easier. Hey, I could go to this college. There's a church nearby. I could go to this college. There's not a church this by, nearby. I've already made my decision about my commitment to God. That decision just got easier. Then the job opportunity comes. And it's a great opportunity, but it takes you away where there's no place for you to be able to be with the people of God in the house of God on a regular basis. Guess what? It becomes an easy decision. It becomes a simple decision. It may not feel easy, but it becomes a simple decision. Why? Because the commitment has already been made. You see, Caleb had made a commitment in his youth. Caleb here as a young man had said, "I'm going to follow God regardless what everybody else does. If it's two against, you know, a million or whatever it was at that point, doesn't matter," he said. "I'm going to follow God." He was already committed to his God in his youth. You go over to the book of Daniel and you read what happened when Daniel was first taken into the Babylonian captivity. You know, you talk about an easy time just to go along to get along. You know, hey, he's away from Israel. He's been put in this management training program by the Babylonians. And you know, if you fell that class, it didn't just limit your promotion opportunities. It limited your lifespan. You know, one of those types of programs. But it says in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, it said that he had purposed in his heart. He'd already committed himself that he was going to follow God even if he was forced to live as a captive in a strange land. And he said he had purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. Caleb was committed in his youth. He was committed in his youth. Now, let's go back over to Joshua chapter 14. He says, I'm going now, Joshua chapter 14, verse 7. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly, look at that, I wholly followed the Lord my God. You know what God asks of us? That's the wrong word. You know what God commands of us? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with about half of your mind. Is that the way it works? That's not what God commands, is it? God says, I want all of you. I mean, God rightly stands, you know, in the doorway of the homes of our life and says, it is all mine, because it is. He is, as the psalmist calls him, the God of our life. And Caleb was committed. He says, I told them we have got to follow God. God will take us where we need to be. But then look what happened. It says, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. Because remember, God had said that everybody that was above the age of 20 was going to die except for Joshua and for Caleb. So they have to turn aside. And Caleb says, and now, I'm in verse 10 of Joshua chapter 14, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Now, I want us to think about that just for a second and kind of put it into a perspective. Because what he describes here is what I'm going to call the walking years. For him, it was age 40 to age 80, and then 5 more years to age 85. And I'll just to put it on a actuary table, averages, you know, for us, we might say it's the ages in our normal lifespans of 30 to 65. The plotting years. The years when things just feel like it's day after day after day, and step after step after step. I want you to think about Caleb's situation here. Caleb was ready to go into the land that was flowing with milk and honey. He was ready to build his house on a piece of that good land, as it were. He was ready to see his grandkids running around and playing in the land of Canaan and seeing them enjoy that. And Caleb has to go in what you would rightfully consider some of the best years of his life, and he has to go spend them in the wilderness for 40 years. And it's not Caleb's fault. Now, sometimes somebody says, life's not fair. Guess what? Life isn't fair. That things don't turn out like we expect them to turn out a great deal of the time. And Caleb could have gone, well, it's just wrong, God. I did exactly what I was supposed to do. I didn't make the mistake. I didn't make the bad decision. I tried to get the people to do what was right. Why do I have to spend 40 years in the wilderness? Why can't I go ahead and go into Canaan? It would have been easy from a human standpoint. It would have been easy for Caleb to get better. But he didn't, did he? He didn't. He just continued to follow God. Circumstances were not what he wanted. You know, we experience that sometime. The unfaithfulness of a spouse, the injury or health issues, or things don't work right in the job, or it just seems like that day after day after day is a burden. Oh, the walking years. I love Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, that says, they that wait upon the Lord. Now that's waiting in terms of service, not waiting as in terms of sitting and waiting. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. But here's my favorite part. They'll walk and not faint. You know, it is in those middle years. It's in those middle years where Caleb was just consistent in his walk, wandering with the people of Israel, waiting for them to die for 40 years. And he just stayed consistent in following God. Those some of the best years of his life, they weren't what he had desired, weren't even what he expected. I can't imagine how excited he was. And then to hear, no, Caleb, you got to spend all this time over there in the wilderness and you didn't do anything wrong. But he stayed consistently committed to God. In year after year after year after year passed, and he stayed committed to God. You know, a lot of times it seems that where we get into trouble is in those walking years. Because things just wear us down. We get tired. And the demands of work and the demands of raising children, sometimes the demands of caring for the generation or generations above us just become heavy. And it becomes easier to say, I'll get to the things of God later. But God continues to gently say, follow me. Follow me. Go one more day. And all throughout those walking years, God gave Caleb, and God gives us strength to go another day. Strength to walk one more year. Strength to go forward. I appreciated Brother Tommy saying that it's good for us to enjoy the difficulties of life sometimes, even though we enjoy the mountaintops. It helps us not take things for granted. That's entirely true. You know, the mountaintops are beautiful. I love the mountaintops. You love the mountaintops. The mountaintops are beautiful, but if you ever noticed, it's down in the valley is where things grow. Down in the valley is where things grow and where things are matured and where things are brought to fruitfulness. He was consistent. He just continued to serve God. The root of bitterness that the Bible says that we're to beware of, lest the root of bitterness spring up in you and with it are therefore many be defiled. Caleb kept it away. He said, this is not what I wanted. This isn't my fault. It may not, certainly doesn't seem fair, but it is my lot. I've got to wander with the people of God for 40 years while they all die. There is nothing about that. 40 years. Caleb's not a 700-year living guy. I mean, he made it to 85. I don't know how much. I tried to look, couldn't figure out, you know, how, you know, if he made it to 100 or not. I don't know. And maybe in there I can't find it. But he wasn't, you know, 700-year-old type fella. But he spent 40 years. 40 long years in the wilderness. But he stayed consistently committed to his God. And for those of you that are in the walking years, I want to tell you, even though it gets tiresome, even though it gets heavy, even though it feels like that everything that you're looking forward to is so far out there, just be consistent in following God. God has not, it's not original with me, God has not called us to be successful. God has called us to be faithful. That's what God has called us to do. And that's what God has called us to be. So then let's go back into this. He says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said. He was aware of God's preservation. He says, God said that even though I was going to have to wander with them for 40 years, he says, God has kept me alive all of this time. I've been alive and been kept by the preservation and the providence of God all of this time. We need to stop far often than we do and look back and see the preservation of God. You know, today's a great day for it. Today is the close of a year that most people would say has been a difficult year. But you know what? Today we close that year. What a great time to look back and say, in spite of the difficulties, In spite of those difficulties, thus far the Lord hath led me on. Thus far his power prolongs my days. He says, God has kept me alive, just like he promised. And now he said, I'm 85 years old. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85, 85 years old. And then he says, as yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to come out and to come in. Now, here is where we might look at the scripture and say, well, okay, what you've been saying sounds reasonable, but now we're seeing that Caleb was some kind of super follower of God. Caleb wasn't an ordinary man. For him to say that I am as strong for war at 85 as I was at 40, his name probably means something like man of incredible endurance or something of that nature. You know what the word Caleb means? And with all apologies to my brother, mine means dirt, so, that's... You know what the word, I looked it up because I figured it would. I figured it had some rich meaning, like Boaz, strength is in him, man of strength. You know what Caleb means? It means dog. I'm dirt. He said, but I'm as strong right now to war. And so to the people of God who maybe are on that next third of track, or on that last third of miles, as you might say, that Caleb had come to here. He'd gone through the jumping years and had gone through the walking years, and now he's about to go into what he's going to call the warring years. He says, I'm as strong to war. You say, well, that's not the case. Brother Adam, I'm 70 years old now. I'm 80 years old now. I'm 85 years old now. I don't have the strength like that. I wish I had the vigor that I used to have to be able to be useful in the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I love you, but you're wrong. And let me prove that to you. If I want to make that statement, I better back it up with Scripture. Caleb said, I am as strong to war as I was back then. And I'm going to tell you that the child of God, as they age, the weapons of their warfare are not diminished by age. Look, go with me if you would first over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Yes, I get that our physical bodies can't do the things that we might wish they could as time goes on. But that's not the weapons of our warfare. Nobody's asking the child of God to go swing a great big battle axe. They're asking the child of God to pray. They're asking the child of God to be faithful. He says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see that? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Flip a few pages back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Listen to me. If you're 90 years old today, the weapons of warfare that you had when you were 20 to do battle in the kingdom of God, because we are in a warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, etc. Although our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. By day. Just like Caleb was as strong to war as he was 45 years before that, listen to me, child of God, you are as strong to war as you were before. Every once in a while, and thankfully I don't see it very often, but every once in a while you'll see a child of God who's been committed in their youth and they've been consistent through those walking years, and they come and they reach what's called the golden years. I'll find out why, I guess, but when they reach what's called the golden years, and every once in a while somebody says, I put in my time. You know, I'm gonna leave it to the next generation. I'm gonna leave it to the younger people, and you know, you see them less frequently, and lots more time spent, overseas or what have you. Listen to me. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. And think about a person who has been active in the cause of Christ for 40 or 50 or 60 years, collecting all of that experience. All of that experience about who God is and the power of God in their life. They have all of that to be able to give the church of God. That is not the time to quit. That is not the time to quit. If anything, that is when the kingdom of God needs you more than they ever have. Because you're able to bring things. Your weapons have been sharpened by time. Not dulled. Not dulled. And so Caleb says, I'm as strong to war as I was back then. Now let's go back over to Joshua. Verse 11, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, he said, give me this mountain. And he points to the place that would later become known as Hebron. And he said, see that mountain, Joshua? That's the one I want. Give me this mountain. You know who just happened to live in that mountain? Remember when the other 10 spies came back and they said, oh, the people are too big, they're too numerous, they have walled cities. Oh, and by the way, they have the sons of Anak there, who are the descendants of giants. Guess who lived on that mountain? The sons of Anak. And Caleb said, you know those guys that everybody was afraid of? The last ones they wanted to face? That's the spot we'll take. And he went and he took it. He went and he took the mountain because his attitude was, if God is with me, give me this mountain. Oh, what a motto for our lives in following Jesus Christ and in warring in our day and in our place for the cause of the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. Give me this mountain. We've all got different mountains. The mountain Caleb was getting was a different mountain than someone else was taking. But Caleb looked at it and said, yes, it looks hard, but I know God is still with me, so give me that mountain. The Apostle Paul said, as he wrote his farewell letter to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul said, I've never said I quit. God calls us to be Calebs. He calls us to be committed in our youth and to say, regardless of what may be against me, regardless of what everyone else is doing, I'm going to be committed to God. He calls us to be consistent as we go through the walking years. And even when things are wandering in the wilderness, it seems, and it's not our fault, instead of being bitter or being angry at God, we're called to just be like Caleb and to be faithful. And we come to the third end of the track, as it were, to be confident that the God who has preserved us this far is still with us, is still renewing our inward man, day by day. and to look at the things that are before us, that are ours. Those things that we can look at and hear the Spirit of God whisper to us saying, who knoweth but that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows but it's your experience? Who knows but that it's your sorrow that you experience or your trial that your whispering in someone else's ear of the faithfulness of God will give them just enough strength to walk one more day in obedience to Him and in faithfulness to Him. Paul said in that same letter, for I know whom I have believed. He's the same God. Caleb knew that. He said, it's the same God I was serving when Moses sent me to spy out the land. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He said, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Brethren, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And whatever mountains come in front of us, may God give us the spirit of Caleb to say, now therefore, give me this mountain, and regardless of what our station and place in life is, to go forward, that the God that we have served, as we sang in the song earlier, is absolutely just the same today. I love you and I appreciate your attention.